So we have lessons on prayer today, and it's a particular kind of prayer, it seems to me. It's intercessory, priestly prayer. What Abraham is doing in that first reading is he is interceding on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah, despite the fact that everybody else in the story is praying that God would destroy those cities. Now, indeed, there was great injustice and sin and crime there, and they deserved punishment. And it was the oppressed, the people who were at a disadvantage because of the sins of those cities, that were praying to God, interceding that he would destroy them. But then in the midst of all that, you find Abraham interceding for mercy. And you know how the story goes. What if there are 50? What if there are 40, 30, 20? What if there are only 10? And God, in each question, says, yeah, we find 10 innocent people there, we'll spare the city. Abraham is drawn up into the court of God. He's drawn up into the mind and the heart of God. And so, unlike when Abraham was a young man, and was probably just as selfish and greedy as anybody else who was praying for his own needs and his own concerns, and seeing himself and his will somehow opposed to God's will. But now, this is Abraham as an older man, and he's wizened by experience and prayer. And prayer draws us up into the mind and heart of God so that we begin to see the world from God's perspective rather than our own. And so Abraham is praying for a mercy that God already has. Jesus is the ultimate example of that. Abraham is but a type for Christ. And Jesus, his will and the Father's will are so one that to look at Jesus is to see the Father. Jesus never sees his own personal will as opposed to the Father, but one with it. And so when Jesus prays, he prays, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Your kingdom come. Not my kingdom, not my idea of the kingdom, but yours. Because he is so son of the Father, so in union with the Father, that he's asking for the very things that the Father is anxious to give anyway. Give us our daily bread. Not more than we need, but just enough to suffice. Not more for me than for you, but enough for everyone. Justice, equality for all. And forgive us our sins because we already have learned, because we are as much as possible in your will, so that we're forgiving others too. That reconciliation between God and humans and between humans and humans would all take place. And Jesus puts that prayer in the context of the first person plural, our Father. See, Jesus wants his disciples to understand that in the same way that he is Son, through him, they become sons and daughters. And so they can address God as Father in the same way that Jesus does. That same address, that familiar address that Jesus speaks of his Father that gets him in trouble, because how dare you call God that? And Jesus says, I want you to all call God that too, our Father. Through Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit joined to Christ, we have become priests, sharers in his priesthood, and so we intercede for the world. The older we get, the longer we pray, the more our heart and God's heart, our mind and God's mind become one. We find ourselves not so much praying for our own immediate needs, as a kind of a heartfelt concern for the others, for the world. And so every Eucharistic prayer at Mass prays for the salvation of the whole world. because the presumption here is that we have been saved because Christ, as Paul tells the Colossians, he nailed our sins to the cross. We have been made priests. We have been made children of our Heavenly Father by his abject sacrifice. And so whether we deserved it or not is not the question, because we didn't. The question is, does God love us? And the answer is, endlessly, God loves us. And so the presumption here is at Mass is that we're not really praying for our salvation. That's already been done on the cross. Salvation is won. Now we're worried about the rest. What about all those who don't know about Christ? What about all those who have heard but haven't believed? What about all those for whom the seed fell on rocky ground or the footpath or whatever? Our hearts go out to them in mercy, and we say, Lord, what if we just found 10 out of the whole world? Would you spare the world for those 10? And the Father's answer is, of course I would. Now you understand how I think. Now you understand my heart, because this is the mercy that I have felt since before the world began. Finally, in that gospel story, Jesus says, if you who are sinners know how to give good things to your children when they ask you, how much more will your Heavenly Father give you, not good things, notice the words there, would give you the Holy Spirit. So what's the point of the Father giving us his Spirit? Because it is the Spirit's role in salvation to join us to Christ, making us daughters and sons. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can say, Our Father. It's through the power of the Spirit that we have become adopted children, heirs of salvation, heirs of the kingdom. It's because of the Spirit's action in the world and in our lives that all of this is possible. And it is deeply, wholeheartedly, and eternally the Father's will that we receive that Spirit.